Blog Talk Radio.
No tears in heaven, no tears in heaven, no tears in heaven, no sorrows given, all will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness.
Good afternoon, precious saints of God. Welcome to a 4th of July edition of Manna from Heaven. I hope you're all doing well. As for me, happy to be above ground, happy to be alive, happy to be involved in the work of the Lord, thinking about souls, thinking about whether the Lord today will give me an opportunity to bump into someone who needs to hear about Jesus. Just constantly thinking about the Lord, His church, His people, and the Word. Let's open up our Bibles to Revelation chapter 17. I was at church today for the golden hour of prayer, and a few people popped in, and that was great. I was very happy to see several souls come in and stay for a while. Revelation chapter 17. We're going to be reading from verses 1 through 7. Revelation 17, verses 1 through 7. Thus begins the reading of God's precious word.
Chapter 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and we praise your name today. We understand, Lord, that while we are celebrating the independence of our great nation, Satan is at work. Satan never takes a day off. Satan never goes on vacation. Satan is busy going to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking whom he may destroy. We thank you for this word of God, and we pray that it would be a blessing to us, an encouragement to us as your holy people about doing good in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would take over this lesson. Take over the remaining time that we have. Lead us and guide us to all truth, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Last week we talked about wilderness fellowship. How God is at work each and every day, calling backslidden children back to him. And Hosea 2:14 was the basis of our study last week, and Revelation 17 is the basis of our study this week. And this week we're talking about wilderness pollution. Wilderness pollution. Now there is fellowship going on. There's fellowship going on between the great whore and the beast, between the great whore and the kings of the earth, between the great whore and the inhabitants of the earth. But it's not really true fellowship. It's truly abomination. So this is why this week's lesson, although it takes place in the wilderness, is called wilderness pollution. Today I want to talk about the woman, the mysterious woman in the wilderness. Who is this mysterious woman in the wilderness? Well, I've already told you in our first lesson that it is none other than the Roman Catholic Church. But in the end times, right before Antichrist shows up, we can think of this Roman Catholic Church as being supersized. You know, when you go to Burger King and they say, what kind of meal do you want? Do you just want the regular meal or do you want everything supersized? Supersized means big hamburger, big soda, big french fries. Well, the Roman Catholic Church right now is small, although, arguably she's the biggest church, and I say the word church in parentheses. She's the biggest church in all the world. She's really the biggest cult in all the world. But there will come a day when she will be supersized, when the Roman Catholic Church will not just be into religion, but she will be greatly into politics and greatly into economy. She's going to be a supersized economic power, a supersized political power, and a supersized religious power. Right now, she's just a religious power. But when the Antichrist comes on the scene, the Roman Catholic Church will go from being relatively small to truly being supersized. And that's how she will serve the interest of the Antichrist. Well, there are six things that I want to highlight today. First of all, she's called the Great Whore. Now, when you think of the word great, it reminds me of when I watched The Wizard of Oz on so many different occasions as a child, as a teenager. And they would introduce the Wizard of Oz, and they would call him the Great and Magnificent Oz. Notice great first before magnificent. And that's what I mean by supersized. The word great has to do with the harlot being supersized. She's the great whore, the great harlot. It says in Revelation chapter 17, 1, and there came one of the seven angels, which had one of the seven vials, and he talked with me and said unto me, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great or supersized whore, which sits upon many waters or many nations. She sits upon many nations. Now, the word whore, another word for whore is madam, sex worker, prostitute. A madam or a sex worker or a prostitute is one who is employed in a house of ill repute, who works at a place that is located in the red light district. Another name for a house of ill repute is a bordello. So great whore is the greatest of all the madams on the face of the earth, the greatest. From her, she's so great that from her proceed all of the other harlots. In fact, let's go to Revelation 5 real quick. It says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. In other words, all other harlots proceed from her and are mentored, schooled, tutored by her. So she is what? She is the great whore, the supersized whore, the supersized madam, sex worker. And of course, all of this is in the spiritual sense. It's figurative language. The second thing I want to highlight about the mysterious woman in the wilderness is that she's the great fornicator. The great fornicator. This is emphasized in verse 2. Let's go to verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed what? Fornication. Politicians of the earth have committed fornication. But not just the politicians, which are too many. I mean, think about all the politicians in the United States alone. Think about the politicians on the federal level. Think of the politicians on the state level. Think about the politicians in your local community. Add all those up, and my goodness, we have politicians in the thousands. But that's just one country. Take all of the nations of the earth. So it says here that the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and not just the politicians, but also the inhabitants of the earth are made drunk with the wine of her fornication. She's the great fornicator. The word fornication has to do with pornography. This woman here, in this mysterious woman in the wilderness, she's lewd. She has excelled. She is the template, the poster child for lewdness. That's what she does. And the word fornication has to do with rendering a service to whoremongers. Whoremongers. Whoremongers are men or people who cannot get enough of whores. They're addicted to pornography. They're just addicted to lewdness. They're just addicted to loose women with no character. So notice, the Bible calls her the great whore, the great madam. Well, what service does she render? She renders pornography. She excels in servicing those addicted to sex. Now, again, this is all figurative language because it's talking about spiritual fornication. To be engaged in spiritual fornication is to worship many different gods. If you were faithful to the one God of the Bible, then that would be fine. You would be a faithful wife. But to chase after all gods makes you what? Makes you unfaithful. And so this woman promotes a kind of religion called ecumenism. Ecumenism is where we called the whole world to gather together, let every tribe, let every nation, let every group of people come together for worship, and we will celebrate every one of their what gods. You know, years ago, we only had two sects that were recognized, male and female. But notice how many sects are there today? Hundreds, right? When you listen to these people and they talk about the different genders, someone sent me a video from a professor in London, England, who was giving a lecture on the different kinds of genders, and she says, I want you all to know in the audience that we have classified 168 genders. That's crazy talk. But you see, that is the religion of the day. That's the religion. Fornication. All kinds of lewdness. All kinds of sexual perversion. So we are in the last days. And we're just not in the last days in a physical sense, in that you can find pornography on YouTube. You can find pornography on every social media platform. Physical, real, literal pornography has exploded on the scene. But even more so, spiritual pornography, spiritual fornication has exploded on the scene because the Roman Catholic Church is the leading cult that promotes ecumenism. Come, bring all your gods, and we'll all get into bed together. That's basically what she does. So she's the great whore. She's the great fornicator. And in verse 4 it says, let me read to you. It says in verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and in scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her what? Fornication. So in verse 2 and in verse 4, you have the word fornication. She is explicitly engaged in promoting spiritual and physical pornography. Okay, now, the next thing I want to bring to your attention is that she has a golden cup. And her golden cup is full of what? Abominations. Now remember, this series is entitled Wilderness Pollution. It's the whore who promotes pollution. The great whore promotes pollution. It's the great fornicator who promotes pollution. And in her cup, which is unlike the cup that you and I take part of every month at the beginning of the month, it's not a cup that reminds us of what Jesus did. When he shed his blood, he took away our sins. No, in this cup, you add to your sins. Verse 4, it reads, and the woman was arrayed in purple and in scarlet color and decked with all gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations. That word abomination. What's an abomination? Well, succinctly, an abomination is something that emits a foul odor, something disgusting, something loathsome. That's an abomination. I don't know if you've ever had meat that has gone bad. I remember one time my dad told me to put some meat in the car and we were defrosting the meat, and we were going into the country, and we were going to be camping a few days. And I completely forgot about the meat. And then when my father says, get the meat, I said, what meat? He says, the meat I told you to bring with you a couple of days ago. Oh, that meat. I forgot about that meat. He says, well, where did you leave it? I said, I left it in the trunk of the car. He said, well, it's got to be bad by now. So when we pop open the trunk of the car, what a stench, what a foul odor. I mean, it was horrible because it was full-blown summer. The car was parked out in the sun. We were way into the woods out there camping. And he thought I had brought the meat with me, and he thought everything was in the cooler with the ice and all the other stuff that we had to preserve meats and all kinds of things that we brought with us. And I completely forgot. I left the most important thing, that meat, in the trunk. What a stench. What a stench when we opened the trunk. What a stench as we were driving home. We drove home with the windows down, and it didn't help. A big stench. So that's an abomination, something that emits a foul odor, something that is altogether disgusting. Well, people are drinking out of that cup. Who's drinking out of the cup? Those who follow her, those who chase her. And then it goes on to say this. Not only does her cup possess abominations, it possesses filthiness. The word filthiness is simple to describe. It means without cleanness. Now, you don't want to eat out of a dirty, nasty bowl. You don't want anyone, if someone was to serve you dinner, let's say you were invited to someone's house, and they sat you at the table, and they placed you in front of a dirty bowl, and everybody's bowl was dirty. None of the bowls that were empty on the table, none of the bowls had been washed. They had crud on them. And then the person says, okay, what would you like? Would you like some mashed potato? Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. You're going to serve me in this bowl? This bowl is unclean. I wouldn't eat out of that bowl. I wouldn't let my dog eat out of that bowl. I wouldn't let my pig eat out of that bowl. The bowl is filthy. It's unclean. Well, again, the great whore, when she gives people to drink from her cup, the cup emits foul odors, and nothing in it is clean. Complete filth. Complete garbage. Now, the next thing I want to bring to your attention is that on her headband, she has a headband. And how do we know that? Well, because first century Roman prostitutes, first century Greek prostitutes, first century prostitutes didn't have to tell you their name when you visited a bordello. When you visited one of the houses of ill repute, you didn't have to say, darling, what's your name? No, it was on her forehead. They made it easy for every John. Every John who visited a house of prostitution never had to ask the name because the name was on a bandana. So you didn't have to guess. You didn't have to ask. It was there. So on her band, it says mystery. The woman is a mystery. Well, why is she a mystery? Well, because she's been undercover for centuries. The Roman Catholic Church has been undercover for centuries. But we're soon going to find out what she's really all about. She's been a mystery. A great, great mystery. Well, she's been a mystery to some and not a mystery to others. Take for example, when the Puritans sailed from the old world to the new world, when they landed there in Plymouth Rock, one of the things that the people who came from Europe, the old country, to the new country, one of the things that they determined, they said two things. They said, there are two things from the old world we don't want here. One, no king. The people who fled the old world were tired of monarchies. Monarchies were brutal to the peasantry, to simple folk, to hardworking folk. They were awful. They were tyrannical. So they said no to kings and no to the Pope. They wanted nothing to do with Catholicism. Now, these are people who fled the old country, who were exposed to the powers of Rome in the old country. And so when we get to the new world, no kings, no popes. So to those people who came in the 1500s, 1600s, Rome was no mystery to them. But she's been a mystery to a great part of humanity because Rome has hidden her crimes. She will mask her crimes. She's Mystery Babylon the Great. She's an entity that's been around since Genesis chapter 11, believe it or not. And this woman is the great mother of harlots and the promoter of all kinds of abominations in the earth. The Roman Catholic Church, if you were to just read and devote yourself to digging up all that you can on the Roman Catholic Church, you will discover that the Roman Catholic Church makes the mafia look like nothing. She is the mafia. The Roman Catholic Church is the real mafia. And that's why so many mafiosos are members of the Roman Catholic Church. They're at home there because she is the ultimate mob boss. And finally, she's a great drunk. You know, when you look at prostitutes, in fact, look at the old Westerns. When you watch Gunsmoke or watch Rawhide or, you know, Have Gun Will Travel or Rifleman, you look at any of the old Westerns. When the guys would go to the bar to get a beer, what was in the bars? The girls. Well, in the 1950s, they couldn't call them prostitutes. In the 1960s, they couldn't call them prostitutes. The censors who monitored, you know, family TV wouldn't have it. But that's what those girls were. They worked for what? They worked for beers. The person who owned the bar would hire them, and they would get paid a minimum salary. And of course, the rest they could get from the cowboys who would come in with money. And they would spend on the girls, and they would spend on themselves until the guys drank up all the cash they had. Prostitution, being a madam, had a lot to do with drinking, alcohol. For one, you had to get these men to spend like crazy because that's how you made your money. And number two, many women drank just to numb their conscience because of the nasty work that they were engaged in. Today, you have prostitutes that are not only engaged in alcoholism, they're also engaged in drugs. So this prostitute, this madam, she's a great drunk. But she doesn't drink beer. She doesn't drink wine. She doesn't drink alcohol. She doesn't drink champagne. She doesn't say, can I have a bottle from the great year of 1886? No. She drinks the blood of the saints. It says in verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken. Listen, she was inebriated, drunken with the blood of the saints, getting high on the blood of God's holy people. Remember, she serves the great red dragon. Why is the dragon called the great red dragon? Well, because he's a bloodshedder. The beast that she's riding on is a scarlet or red-colored beast. Why is the beast red? Well, because he's a blood slayer, just like the red lamb. The red dragon, the red antichrist, the red lamb, the false prophet, and the red whore, they're all red. Why? Because they are drunken, not with power, but drunken with the blood of the saints. This woman is pure, pure, pure filth. This woman is pure filth. And that's why the lesson is called Wilderness Pollution. I'll be back tomorrow to do part 3 as we talk about her polluting partner, the beast. I want to close today's teaching with a beautiful evangelistic song. Now, remember, saints, we are praying for Sister Amy and the young people. We're praying that God would give them a great harvest of souls. So I want to end with this song to remind us, let's continue to pray for the youth of our church and pray for their evangelistic campaigns as they start going into the street, as they start inviting, as they start winning other young people to Christ. Let's think on winning souls to the glory of God.
In a little town in Alabama, where the fields are snowy white, a farmer sits in wonder, gazing at all the work in sight. With his hands scratched and bleeding, he cries out with this prayer: God send help to my open door. Sunday night, a preacher prays and wonders how to fill the chairs inside. With his voice cracked and weary, he cries out with this prayer: God send help to my open door. His mother cries and wonders as he nails to the cross.